latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
All right, carry the four plus this. I got that. All right. 26,876. What's that? That's how many races you could have bet last summer on ExpressBet. Haven't signed up for an account yet? What are you waiting for? On top of all those races, ExpressBet's giving away 25 million XB rewards points with promotions at Saratoga, Del Mar, and more. Plus, ExpressBet's Fun in the Sun Handicapping Tournament features $120,000 in prizes, including seats to the 2020 Pegasus Betting Championship. I know, I'm throwing a lot of numbers at you here, but here's one more. 500. That's the sign-up bonus you could get when you sign up for ExpressBet. So let's recap. 26,000 races, $500 sign-up bonus, $120,000 handicapping tournament, and 25 million rewards points. Hey, this math just adds up. ExpressBet is your way to play this summer. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states. Open an account with ExpressBet and reside in the state where such activity is legal, void, or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
With Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Everyone's a winner, baby, that's the truth.
That's the truth.
Being for you is such a thrill. Everyone's a winner, baby, that's no lie.
That's no lie.
You never fail to satisfy.
Hope everybody came away a winner from the weekend. And those of you that are playing along, I'm still waiting for Holly and Michelle Ravencraft to send me the official numbers. I know we had 700 people play on Saturday, and very few played with me, which was a mistake. Tina played. Tina has now, I think, got two or three on. She's got two qualifies for Beat Vic. And then yesterday I scratched into the Chad Brown winner. Front run the Fed for Seth Klarman. And it kind of felt like, you know, they typically when Chad makes that move with that kind of a horse, they're ready for that stakes debut. And that included, of course, Annals of Time, you know, not stakes debut, but, you know, coming back at this juncture, 6 years old. So you got three more chances to qualify for Beat Vic. That'll be Saturday, Sunday, Monday. And obviously we'll focus on lots of the stakes. There'll be good stakes action to choose from. And we'll keep focusing on. I say Del Mar and Saratoga, but I should keep in mind we've got the Virginia Derby, right? And the Virginia Oaks on Saturday. And you heard Shug refer to what went on at Colonial. They had that dangerous weather situation down there and scuttled a card, obviously. But they'll make it up as best they can. And the Virginia Oaks, you've got the Virginia Derby and a couple of others, the Kitten's Joy for the two-year-olds. And you've got the Rosies, you know, named for their gaming operation, the Rosie Stakes that they added. And that's a turf sprint for two-year-olds going 5.5. So Colonial rolling along into their big weekend, Virginia Derby, Virginia Oaks. And as they reestablish themselves on the schedule. And, of course, you got the John Mabee and the Del Mar debutante on Saturday. You've got here, of course, Saratoga, the Woodward and the Saranac, the Prioress and the Glens Falls on Saturday. Into the last Sunday, Del Mar Derby for the three-year-old boys on the grass. You got the juveniles as well. Saratoga comes back with the spinaway for the girls on Sunday, and then the hopeful for the boys and the Bernard Baruch on closing day. Hard to believe that closing day is already in focus. Del Mar's closing Labor Day action, the futurity for the boys, for the two-year-old boys and the juvenile fillies on the grass. And there's actually plenty. Labor Day weekend, always a great day of racing. You've got Parks gets ready. You got the prep for the Pennsylvania Derby, the Smarty Jones, as well as the Turf Monster. You got the Dabunda for the fillies and mares on the turf, and the Roman Rachel and more. So lots of great racing next weekend. Carlos Martin standing by. He's been waiting. I didn't realize. Carlos, I hope you don't mind that I sent out that tweet on Saturday that was the first grade one in a fairly long stretch. But I'm sure you don't mind. You won plenty of stakes in between. But this was really special and a dominant performance by Come Dancing. She had been working like a crazy horse leading in. Congratulations to you and Mark Holliday.
Thank you so much. No, of course I don't mind. I know how tough it is to win grade ones, and I'm happy I was able to win one on Saturday for Come Dancing and for Blue Devil and for the whole team. It was a really special day, so I'm excited about hopefully finishing off this chapter in her storied career.
It was a great day for you overall, because you know you were sending out horses and back to back grade ones, and Bon Raison, of course, as well. And Carlos, you know, this mare has been just outstanding. She has always been a good workhorse, but it really got to the point this summer at Saratoga that people were like coming out to see her work out. She was working so well coming in.
No, everything went really, really well. I'm glad that Javier made a commitment to her, and he stayed with us the whole month, and we got her ready. We got her a little break, Fair Hill, Maryland. Bruce Jackson does an outstanding job. She was there for a few weeks after the FIPS. We just thought it was the right time to decompress, and then we'll shoot for the grade one, give her some time in between races, come in firing fresh. And like I said, Bruce did a great job at Fair Hill. We were able to get her back, you know, with a few weeks of galloping. And by the time I got her here July 10th and we started with her, we had the 6 weeks to prepare, and every workout was better than the previous one. And Javier, just with a big smile on his face, and, you know, she just does things so easily. She was never under the whip. She was never driven. She just does things so naturally. And people are like, what are you talking about? She went 47, out in 59, out in 111, out in 124, out 138. What are you doing? I said, listen, come and watch the videotape. Put it on XBTV. It doesn't even look like she's racing. He goes, but how can she go a half mile and then gallop out a mile in 138? I said, ask Javier. He's trying to pull her up after the wire, and she looks like she's on cruise control. As long as she's coming back sound, as long as she's eating, I'm going to keep to my schedule. And we were able to get it done, and she ran brilliantly, and Javier was a big part. And the whole month, he just said, she says, I got her so relaxed and so beautiful. I don't care what the clock says. Unless you want me to put a rope around her neck and strangle her, she's just doing it just effortlessly and happy, and we're not going to change a thing. So we got a series of works ready. You know, the first couple of works, believe it or not, even though they were also probably bullets, I don't even remember the times, the first couple of works that I got her back from Fair Hill, she was just, you know, just cruising. And then we had one serious work where we put a company in front of her, Stone Factor, a little New York bridge filly that we have for some great people that was actually working a little bit ahead of her that day and just happened to be worked with a little company, but not strictly by design, but I thought that might happen that way. And then that day, I think she went 59 out in 112 and then kept galloping out. And then even the blowout, I just wanted to go nice and fresh with an easy 3/8. I know she was plenty fit coming back from the FIPS, and she does get a lot out of her gallops. So we went 3/8 and 35. And like my father, who was a great trainer, Jose Martin, said, he goes, when you have a course that's a championship like that kind of level, whatever you want to do, you can back it up an eighth or two, because you know she's going to go 3/8. And then she kept galloping out 5/8 in a minute. So it was just outstanding.
there's a lot about her that has been interesting. And being based in New York and racing so often, you know, downstate, where the opportunities you had to test her at longer distances, you know, beyond traditional sprints. I mean, because we have so much one-turn racing, particularly at Belmont, she kept stretching out and doing it successfully, including a very nice try in the Phipps when only beaten, what, three lengths by Midnight Bisou. The reality, though, is she's really meant for this kind of a trip, for the one-turn mile or the 7/8, and you really saw how appropriate it is for her the way she just basically took control of this race after the start.
Yeah, no, she's 7/8 of a mile. She's been brilliant. You know, she's right, and she's ready to go. She's an elite filly. I think I really believe that. The distaff was sensational. The Ruffian was a great race. The 7/8 today in the Ballerina. I mean, she's pretty tough cookie, 7/8 to a mile. And Midnight Bijou, you know, like you said, she's a champion, but she's 8/8 at the mile 16th when she beat us that day. No disgrace. We didn't get off to the great beginning. Then we wound up having to rush up in 9 and change. I'm not going to make excuses. The track was fast that day, and I still thought we were going comfortable enough. You know, she had run that brilliant, you know, 114 Byron the distaff, and maybe by the third race in the form cycle, you know, she might have been, you know, a little, you know, she gets a little light on me. She's a little bit hard on herself in the mornings as far as she really loves what she does. And she's pretty aggressive out there. So if I could have had a perfect world and maybe wouldn't have to run a 114, and I could have maybe got her into the grade one in a little different way. You know, she had trained brilliantly for that race too. If I could have got a clean start, I don't know if I would have been Midnight Bijou, but I think that Come Dancing would have given her a real, real tussle like the late did the other day. But it's neither here nor there. We did what we had to do. We regrouped. We won a grade one. So onward and upward.
Talk about the start, and I thought that Javier, you know, did the right thing. You know, sometimes you see riders after a horse, you know, doesn't start well. I don't want to say panic, but you know, they'll maybe have a tendency to rush a horse into contention, and that rarely works. He let her settle, and then he started to proceed. You know, how alarmed were you after the break?
Well, you know, you never want to get off. You know, you're 3-5 and you're on the inside, and you know, when the other horse is cracked, you're kind of figuring she's going to break and they're going to have to come and play catch with if you can. But Javier had been, like I said, working her the whole time. He was so confident in her, and he had gotten her so relaxed in the morning, and he kind of thought to himself, the way he talked to me in the paddock, I thought he was going to be just like, let's just go. And you know, he had broken her out of the gate, you know, a couple of weeks earlier, and she breaks like a rocket. So it was, I did that more for myself, because we didn't have any luck in the Ruffian. Even though she won by 5, she had her head twisted that day. And then she broke so fast in the next race, and she wound up stumbling. So I said, you know what, I'm going to satisfy myself and take her over there since Javier's never ridden her. And she broke like a shot that day. Now in the race, she broke with them, and she actually broke decently, but it looks a lot worse because as soon as the one special relativity came over and knocked her a little bit, Javier never even tried to stay in there. I think in his mind, he was really hoping he can get her off the inside and get her off the pace a little bit. Because he kind of initiated to me in the past. He goes, you know, they're gonna go after me. They're going to send hard. They have an extra on our back, you know. I'm not going to get into the political thing about why that was, because besides having a 3-5 favorite, that goes into a little bit of a deeper detail. But I think he had a big smile on his face. And even though everybody was alarmed, I think he was relieved that he got her outside in the clear. And, yeah, he kind of had a big old smile on his face, like he was never really worried. But special relativity did put him in that position, but I think it really turned out for the best.
Well, and of course, the scratch of Minute to Stardom, it kind of changed the complexion of this a little bit, Carlos, because, you know, the expectation was that if you were going to get company on the front end, and if if she was going to break sharp and go, that Minute to Stardom, you know, might test. When you heard that Jose Camejo had come out of the race, what were your thoughts about what was going to then transpire? It would seem that, you know, you would have been controlling speed at that point.
I thought exactly the same thing. But then when I talked to Javier, he had a little different take on it. He said, listen, they're going to go after me hard. He said, Mia Mischief is going to go. Maybe Cone from the Rail is going to go. They're not going to give us any free pass. And he said, I'm just going to come out of there. If she breaks sharp, I'm going to let her do her thing. I just don't want to be smooching at her and just getting, just having to gun her the whole step of the way. He goes, I want to try to see if we can get her in that comfortable rhythm like she's been doing all month long with me, where she's just cruising and goes 12, 12, 12, 12, 12, 11. He goes, I just wanted to see how it unfolds. So he was more or less noncommittal about that. I think he had a little bit of a different strategy. Like I said, I don't want to get into the reasons, the political aspect. He said they're going to go after her hard. So the way it turned out, like I said, I think he really was happy that he was able to get her off the inside and get her to settle a little bit off him.
Well, and then the other part of this really is that the inside continues to be not great. The main track this whole summer, the inside has been, if not a dead rail, it just hasn't been the right place to be. So coming wide has paid off. It certainly, you know, same. You saw the same thing from Johnny in the feature in the Traverse.
Right. No, definitely. It definitely was not a bad place to be, especially when you have the best horse. And he was very comfortable with her. He said she really, really is a classy mare, has a lot of gears. And he the whole month leading up to it, he couldn't be more excited for the opportunity. And like I explained to Andy Sterling and a couple of other people when we were doing some interviews, said Manny Franco's a great jockey. You know, it is what it is. Mark made the decision. He's personal friends with Javier. He always wanted him on a top horse. And it's just circumstances. You know, it's nobody's fault. We made a decision, and Javier Castellano is, you know, considered arguably one of the top, you know, money riders in the last 10, 15 years in the United States. He doesn't make too many mistakes in these big ones. That's why, you know, he's a Hall of Famer. So we went with it.
Well, now you come out of this, and for, you know, for those that don't know Blue Devil, of course, Mark Holliday, who's a NYRA board member, you could see in the interview afterward just how delighted he was. This is a homebred and a Malibu Moon mare. Very important win for her in this situation. Multiple grade one placed, both long and short, and this just only rounds out the resume. Breeders' Cup thoughts, the distance fits, the timing, all, you know, it's perfect going into the fall. What do you do between now and Breeders' Cup?
Well, right after the race, I'm thinking to myself, playing the replay in my mind after the Phipps, how we kind of orchestrated everything, pretty much similar spacing with two and a half months. So I was thinking to myself, we know she fires fresh. We know 7/8 is not a problem. We know getting her ready off the layoff isn't a problem. And, you know, in retrospect, she came out of the race so well. Mark, we had a little conversation this morning. We're going to meet up on Friday. We have a little filly running at Saratoga on Friday and go more into detail. He left me thinking a little bit with an open mind, you know, if she's doing really, really well, to possibly have a prep. And, you know, I'm not going to poo-poo it because, like I explained to him, you know, for many, many years, all the top horses in the Breeders' Cup on the championship preview days in Del Mar and at Belmont, you know, it's not the worst thing in the world. They get a prep and 5 weeks later, they're in the Breeders' Cup. So I'm not going to say, but every horse is different and every situation is different. We know what works for her. So I left a little bit of an open mind for a prep, but I have no problem getting her ready right from the Ballerina, August 24th to November 2nd. You know, I think whatever we've been doing with her seems to work pretty good. She's won now the Royal Delta, the Ruffy, and the Distaff, the Ballerina. So I think we can get her there. But I left a little bit of an open mind. So we'll just have that discussion and just see how she comes out of the race.
Well, now, Carlos, for you, folded into, your own feelings and, you won the top flight. That was your first grade one going back. Reflect on what it means to you.
Well, it means everything, you know, to come to Saratoga, put on a good show and represent the family name well, and hopefully get those good, great horses that my father and my grandfather had for so many years. I've been in the business a long time, and I know how tough it is, and right now it seems like four or five of the top trainers in America control the top horses, but there's a lot of good horsemen out there that if they have the opportunity, they can get the job done. Very competitive business, but I'm just so happy to be in this position right now for a guy like Mark Holliday, who, as you said, great guy, loves the game, you know, tries to always, you know, hold the game to a high standard. And when Mr. Lizard passed away 7-8 years ago, he stepped up and gave me a big opportunity to stay in the business financially, emotionally, horse-wise, everything you can ask for. So right now, you know, from my standpoint, it's as good as it gets. Hopefully we can finish this chapter and make her a champion and she can win the Breeders' Cup.
Well, and that would be special. And, of course, it would kind of fit a recent theme. And you think about the success that the Bromans had going back 2 years, and just feels like she is going to be one of, if not the favorite, right among the top choices heading out there. I do have to hearken back to 91. Remind everybody about By the Firm.
Yeah, she was great. She was just right place, the right time. You know, I've been a bigger Firm fan growing up. Triple Crown winner. I was close to the owners since I was a kid. They were always very kind to me. My dad and my grandfather trained horses for Harborview Farm. Later on, after all those big wins with Laz and all those Triple Crowns and all the great races they won as owners, and I saw in a Firm filly running for 32,000, and Mr. Steinbrenner was going through the trainers like he was going through the manager of the Yankees at the time. He was firing everybody. I think she had 6 or 7 trainers before I got my hands on her. They ran her in a $32,000 sprint with Howie Tesher. We were lucky enough to get her, and we stretched her out, out of an old intentionally mare called By the Hand. And I think we won 3 races with her in the first 18 or 20 days. We ran her right back. And I think the first time we ran into stake, the next move, my dad won the race actually for an old Farnsworth farm mare called Bold Wings by Bull Forbes. So he showed me that he was still the master. But then after that, we were very fortunate. We won about 4 or 5 other stakes with her, including the Top Flight for Mr. Klug, the owner of Unaccounted For, Morbin Stud. That was a great pre-sale. And then to win the Grade 1 for them. And yeah, she was a great mare for us. She really, really was a special filly. And she was consistent and, as honest as they come.
Well, and she got really good that winter, spring, and had won the next move with Hollywood Herb, won by 3+, and then Julie romped on her with in that Top Flight. You beat Colonial Waters and Angel, who were favored over you that day. I remember By the Firm. It didn't seem that long ago, though, when I looked it up to see, earlier in the morning, Carlos, when I was writing up the races, I was curious, you've had plenty of stake wins. And I said, I wonder when Carlos's last Grade 1, because it sure felt like she was going to win. And I was a little surprised, actually, that it went back to her.
Yeah, no, me too. Hopefully we can have a few more before we don't have to wait so long to the next one.
Well, listen, Shug had to wait 21 years between Travers. So waiting 28 years between Grade 1s, that's all right. That you're in good company having to wait a couple of decades. Bon Raison, who's been such a good hard hitter, give us a quick thought about what went on there.
Well, he tries hard every time. I keep arguing with the owner. I said, when are we going to give this horse a little break? He's already run, I think, more times than any horse in history that I've ever had at this kind of level. But every time I say that, he fires one big shot after another. So I kind of quit arguing. But at that 100 buyer, the tail of the cat, naturally, could he have bounced a little bit coming right back against those horses? And then we couldn't get Irad or Joel, who usually have ridden him lately. Not that Jose did anything wrong, but he was kind of on the inside. And he was a little bit closer. He just didn't have the same to kick. Hopefully we can regroup, and hopefully Mr. Turner from Empire State lets us regroup and give the horse a chance. He's been a great horse for us. He claimed him last year for 16. Horses earned $300,000 this year already. I think if they can sit back and maybe we can manage him a little bit, I think he still has some stakes wins in his career coming up.
Well, it's a great Saratoga season when you win a Grade 1. And with that win, by the way, Carlos, I don't know if you realize this, in terms of earnings, you've marked your best year in your career in terms of earnings.
Oh, boy,
with
great.
That win.
That's great. Hopefully we can keep it up the momentum. We still have, like I said, hopefully end the year up on a high note. But I'm excited about the opportunity to take Come Dancing to the Breeders' Cup, definitely.
Friday, Noble Jewel in that 8th race allowance, and the maiden claimer, Wisecrack, trying to get Joey Martinez a win up here.
Yeah, nice young kid. Works hard. Coming up to Saratoga was a big gamble for him. Hopefully he'll get some momentum going into the fall and winter. But he's a worker. He's got some talent. So this horse, another one that we really run a lot, trying him on the grass. He's got a little pedigree for it. So we'll see what happens. Noble Jewel won the first time out for us, a Noble Mission filly out of a mare we trained for Mark years ago that made about $300,000 and won a few stakes called Rogue's Jewel. And she ran okay first time stretching out here about 3 weeks ago with Santana. He had to jump on to Tom Bush, so I had Rosario, who won with her first time out, as not a bad backup. So I'm pretty pleased the way it turned out, actually.
Well, a nice summer, and you win a ballerina, and you head toward the Breeders' Cup with Come Dancing. Nice story, and big potential ending. Carlos, well done. Finish strong, and we'll look forward to California. We'll see you and talk before that, but congratulations.
Thank you for everything you guys do for racing and bringing light to such a great sport with all the positivity that hopefully will be more like Steve Bix that can bring the positive aspect of what a great sport it really is and how well these horses are treated. And I appreciate the opportunity and the time this morning for having me on.
Not at all. An absolute pleasure to be able to call you on a Monday after Travers weekend. A great performance and what a great day overall, great weekend. And we head toward the last 6 days of the meet starting on Wednesday. Let's take a break here. We got Jonathan Shepherd to talk about his sweep of the two grade ones over the jumps. And we've got Greg Sacco to come yet as well at the races about 10 minutes into hour three here on SiriusXM. Back after this.
Latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on SiriusXM Radio.
Amazing achievements for Pennsylvania breds on the world stage. Thanks to Finest City, Unique Bella, and Shamrock Rose, PA joins Kentucky as the only state in the past decade to breed Eclipse Award champions three straight years. Add that to our unmatched incentives. Plus, our racehorse development fund can only be used to support PA breeding and racing. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're We're back at the races, coming off of a visit with Carlos Martin. And Carlos really is going to, I think, I can't even, top of my head, who else might vie for favoritism on the filly and mare sprint front? Thinking about the when we talked with Dick about Hotshot Anna, won the race at Presque Isle on Monday, right? But good question. Who else is Baffert's sprinting mare, right? Has not really been. She's not been as tough. So I don't know. I sure feels like Carlos is going to have the favorite heading into the Breeders' Cup filly and mare sprint. We got to assume that Jonathan Sheppard is going to have the favorite for the Steeplechase Eclipse Award winner after Winston C. sweeps both the Turf Riders Cup on Thursday and before that, of course, the Smithwick, and an absolute pleasure always to have Jonathan Sheppard join us. Jonathan, congratulations. Oh, I hear him back there. Jonathan. What's he doing? Case? Shake Jonathan up. Where is he? Oh, you lost him? Okay. All right. Get him back. We'll get Jonathan Sheppard back. You know, the question I'm anxious to ask Jonathan is, you know, what he's going to do. Is Winston C a horse that, you know, may not be as strong, you know, at a place like Far Hills? You know, that's always the question that you wonder. And, you know, maybe they just go downstate and win the Lonesome Glory, or, you know, is he going to be just as tough to beat? I mean, because he dominated, you know, he won on Thursday by, you know, 10 lengths, and had won the Smithwick by 3.5. So we'll see. And I'm looking at his record in the UK. Well, he's never really gone the kind of, you know, the kind of distance he'd have to go for at Far Hills. So we'll see what Jonathan, what his thoughts are. And the Rip Van Winkle 5-year-old, one thing, you know, is certain. I mean, to have a horse this good at the age of 5 is really going to be a luxury in Jonathan Sheppard's hands, because that's a you know, looking at the field, not only was he the youngest, he was the youngest by 2 years. Sean Clancy's Gerbifaro, a 7-year-old, and, you know, Belisarius, 8, No Wonder was 8, Pepe Le Pew was 8, All the Way Jose, 9, Jonathan's other horse, and Hinterland, 11. So a 5-year-old for Jonathan is going to be around a while. Well, and now Casey's telling me he's having trouble getting Jonathan back. All right, there we go. There's Jonathan Sheppard.
Yes. Hi, Steve.
Jonathan, I'm just kind of opining here that a 5-year-old that is now a 2-time Grade One winner in your hands, he's going to be around a while. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. Yeah, we hope so. You never know with these animals; they're kind of fragile, but he's a pretty tough cookie. So hopefully, he'll be with us for a while.
Talk about what has gone on this summer. I mean, because I went into the week noting that only Campanile is the last horse going back 20 years to sweep these two races. And it feels like he's come to hand for you very quickly.
Yes, you know, somebody told me that Campanile 20 years ago, I think, the last one to win both of those. So, no, it's just still a pretty young horse, and, you know, he's pretty low maintenance, so hopefully, you know, we can continue on with a good career.
Give us the backstory, and then we'll get into, you know, these two wins, the Smithwick and the Turf Riders Cup. You know, he, in his first appearance, which came at Nashville in May, I mean, he showed that he was going to be a quality player. You know, when did you get him and talk about, you know, your work with him going into the year?
Yes, well, he didn't arrive in this country to my stable until March. So we didn't only had him for basically a few weeks before he ran out at Nashville. And, you know, he basically had quite a bit to overcome, still sort of getting acclimated enough, getting used to him, trying to figure out, you know, the best way to train him and have him ridden and so on. And he ran so well there that we realized we had something pretty nice and probably worth putting him on ice until Saratoga.
Did you sense coming out of that first try, because he ran in the frost, and you know that's a good race right away. I mean, to you know, to challenge him first North America, and he was packing 156 that day, and he got beat less than a length by City Dreamer.
Yes.
And Help from Heaven. Did you sense that he was a horse that was going to benefit from the flat, you know, the flat track style jumping?
Yes, I think so. I mean, you never know till you do it, but he's not what you call really a typical old-fashioned steeplechasing type of a horse. He's a little smaller, and he's quicker, you know, than those type horses, and I think that would indicate that he would be well-suited to running a jumping races at a flat track.
Well, we didn't get a chance to talk after the Smithwick because I was actually on the shelf for a couple of weeks, so I was not going to miss the chance to talk to you today and celebrate the win. What do you do now? Do you go for the Lonesome Glory and then put him away, or is Far Hills going to be out of his scope right now?
No. I think we'll probably try. Tie the Lonesome Glory and then Far Hills.
Very good. So two more opportunities. Talk about stretching him out, you know, distance-wise by the time we get to Jersey.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say. I don't anticipate that being a problem, but, you know, he's done so well. You know, I'm more of a speed-saving type track that's going to in the 16th, you wonder, but I think he'll be fine.
Were you, you know, what were your thoughts going into Smithwick and you know, when he won in such easy fashion and just basically blew that field apart, then he, you know, more or less just dismissed this group. You know, when was the last time you had a horse that was this dominant up here?
Oh, my. No, I don't recall having a horse that's won those two races. Well, I know we haven't. We just talked Chandelier with the last, but that was 20 years ago. I mean, we had a very nice horse a couple of years ago called Iranistan, but he was the second one and third in the other. So, you know, it says an awful lot for a young horse that's only been in this country a few months to do what he's done.
I want to talk connections, too, because what a nice win this is, a pair of wins, and what a nice situation this is for Ed Swire.
Absolutely. No, he's been a great supporter and very loyal to me as an owner. And, you know, he lives right there in Albany. So I think you couldn't pick a better spot to pull off something like that with his friends and family and all in the area, you know.
Absolutely. And he's been involved with chasing for Hudson River. I mean, the Hudson River Farms, I've seen the name forever.
The first horse that we had for him, one of the first horses he had paid, I think, was called Nine Pins. That's going back quite a while. I don't know if you remember that name.
Yeah, sure, yeah. Of course. Well, Winston C. Absolutely stamps himself as as the steeplechase Eclipse favorite right now, and feels like a win downstate in the Lonesome Glory, and a win either there or at Far Hills will absolutely stamp him. And Jonathan, for you, I mean, talk about how satisfying it is to, you know, kind of flex your muscles and after a couple of lean summers.
Yes, no, I feel very blessed because obviously, you know, I've been at it a good while, and possibly you could say the twilight of my career at the present time, and to have a good horse like this come into the barn is very gratifying.
Well, exactly. That'll the lifts the spirits. Although, you know, you're running. Let's not kid ourselves. You're running at Presque Isle. You've taken advantage of the Colonial, the reopening of Colonial, and you're running down in those races.
Yes. No, we haven't really slowed down that much.
No, you haven't. Exactly. You got plenty of good things going on. And I saw where that Hepcat was a winner at Colonial a couple of weeks ago.
Yep, he's a cute little guy. He's actually entered in Saratoga next week.
Oh, excellent.
He's not a top horse, but he's a nice, honest little fun horse to have, you know. But it says a lot for my team, my staff, because we couldn't do it without them.
Well, you certainly put a very nice exclamation point on the season with this pair of wins. What about Tom Garner too? Let's get his story told.
It was nice, actually, particularly for him because he was partially instrumental in us purchasing the horse in the first place. Because he's from Ireland and he has contacts over there, and it was basically through him that we first heard about the horse being available for purchase.
Very nice.
He's a nice young man. He's pretty dedicated and a good rider. And I'm very happy for him. And he actually rode that race when he had a fall not too long before down at Colonial and hurt his shoulder. So he was a little bit nip and tuck where he's even going to be allowed to ride. As a matter of fact, the doctor made him do push-ups before he let him go out there that day.
And he said
if it hadn't been for the push-ups, he'd have been really pain-free, but that didn't help.
That's funny. That's great. Yeah. The before they would clear him to ride. Well,
hey, he said, get down on your belly and give me five.
That's great. Well, he puts himself into the record book here with these two wins, winning a Smithwick and a Turf Riders.
Yes.
What number Turf Riders was this for you?
I read somewhere that it was 15. No one else has won more than three. Apparently, I've won 15.
Now I'm going to pull it up. The last one was just five, six years ago, Italian Wedding, sure, with Bernie Dalton.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Before that, Sermon of Love. And actually, one of the things I did with Bill Gallo the other day previewing the race, you actually did win both ends of the grade ones in 2010. I think Divine Fortune won the Smithwick and Sermon of Love won the Turf Riders. So you swept them.
Oh, I see. Yes. Okay, but I guess it's just not with the same horse. That's what
exactly, meant. Exactly. But you have to go back to Campanile. But you moved, let's see, Mixed Up won it in 2006. Mm-hmm. You won it back-to-back with Nine Pins, and It's a Giggle.
Wow, yeah.
The Chilean, Biz Valence.
Oh, is that? Yes, that's going back a while, yes.
22 years ago. Well, you and Shug. It was 21 years between Travers for Shug. So
go
back.
<Is that right? laughs>
Arch Kingsley rode him.
He would have. Yes. Yep.
How about Mystico? Nice, another Chilean, Mystico,
yes.
With Bruce Miller.
He was a nice horse.
With Craig Thornton rode.
Oh yes.
You won it 4 years in a row. Two with Double Bill and two with Yaw.
Oh, yes, yep. Nice horses.
A little further, how about Double Reefed in 83 and the Amazing Flatterer in 84?
Oh, my. Yep, yes. We've had some good ones over the years. We've been very lucky.
Well, and the perfectly named, we go all the way back 40 years, your first one, Leaping Frog in 79.
Oh, yes. Yeah, he was a nice old horse, too, Leaping Frog. Yeah.
There they are. There's all your winners. I hope some people added it up. Jonathan, always delighted to talk and have these opportunities. Continued success with him, and we'll look forward to the Lonesome Glory and to Far Hills.
Sounds good to me. It's always nice talking with you, Steve. Thank you.
Thank you. Jonathan Shepherd, everybody. And how about that for a record? Unbelievable. Look at that. Look at that list. Leaping, so let's count them officially. He said 15. Leaping Frog, 15 in 40 years. How about it? How about including some immortals like Flatterer? Awesome. There it is. Jonathan Shepherd. I wasn't letting the summer end without a Shepherd. And you know, Jonathan had that great string of years where he won a race, flat or jump, every year for, what was it, 40? How many years? That came to an end summer before last. He's back and running. And, you know, I don't know if you saw this, but now Dwayne Lucas has taken that over. And he's won a race every year at Saratoga for 30. What was the number the other day when he had that maiden winner? He's now won a couple more, I think. But I think Dwayne now has taken that, you know, that consecutive year's winning streak. Well, I can tell you that Greg Sacco has got himself a grade one streak going with Mind Control 2 years in a row, right? Has come up here and won grade ones. Well, we're going to talk to him about winning the Jerkins when he joins us after this. Weekend recapping. Travers Weekend continues. Plenty more to do. Stay with us.
Latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Amazing achievements for Pennsylvania Breds on the world stage. Thanks to Finest City, Unique Bella, and Shamrock Rose, PA joins Kentucky as the only state in the past decade to breed Eclipse Award champions 3 straight years. Add that to our unmatched incentives. Plus, our racehorse development fund can only be used to support PA breeding and racing. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at expressbet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on SiriusXM Radio.
We're back at the races. Certainly going into the Challenge Jurkens, the hot topic was Chancelot and how was anybody going to beat him? And the interesting part that hasn't really come up is, you know, not only does Mind Control return to Saratoga and win another Grade One, but the fact that Greg Sacco was watching Chancelot prepare the whole time back at Monmouth as he was getting ready to bring Mind Control up and run in this spot. And it all works out an absolute thriller as Chancelot, Mind Control, Hog Creek Hustle, and Royton all come to the line and Mind Control prevails. Greg Sacco joins us. Congratulations to you and the Brunettis and Sol Cuban.
Thanks, Steve. It's a pleasure to be with you this morning.
You know, that is something I haven't seen discussed. You must have seen Chancelot day after day getting ready for this race, knowing what the situation was. What were your thoughts these last several weeks?
Well, he's actually one barn away from us. We have the same gap. And so I watched him train all summer. He was very impressive in his training and ultra-impressive in his race at Monmouth and his prep for the Amsterdam. And a really talented colt that I did watch all summer long training.
What was the thought coming in here? Because, you know, you certainly have had, you know, for all the talk we hear about Tacitus and his bad luck and bad trips and you had equal difficulties in the last two, the race down at Laurel and in the Woody Stevens. You had your share of difficult trips.
Yes, no, we did, Steve. I mean, you know, it's part of our, you know, racing luck is obviously, you know, part of every race. And unfortunately for us, and my, you know, Mind Control, the Woody Stevens, he stumbled that day, lost all position, and then Hog Creek Hustle saw them off at the top of the stretch. And we only got beat four lengths, but, you know, we drew a line through the race and fortunately came out of the race in good order. And then the thought process with the race at Burrell, well, it wasn't necessarily taking a step down in class, even though it was. We thought there would be a good race to keep his fitness level up and a confidence booster because we did expect him to win. And also the six-week spacing between the stake at Laurel and back in the Allen Jerkins. You know, he went down there, and that was, you know, just a brutal trip. I mean, he was blocked the entire stretch. Every hole Trevor tried to go through, shut off, and literally was, you know, blocked at the 16th pole. Once he got clear, he got beat in neck, and he was, I don't know, 5 to 7 lengths the best. I mean, he would have won pretty convincingly, but came out of that race great. And so, you know, look, you know, with the two prior races for us, we just had, you know, brutal trips. But the Allen Jerkins was on our radar. You know, Mind Control was doing very good going into those races, and he trained terrific going into the Allen Jerkins. With all that being said, after watching the Amsterdam, I think myself and everybody said, you know, what are we up against? But, you know, we were looking forward to coming back to Saratoga with Mind Control, which was our, you know, his win last year in the hopeful. We knew that he handled the track, and he came into the race as good as we can ask for. And so, you know, we all have to load up in the gate, and, you know, fortunately for us, you know, it worked out great.
you got Johnny back aboard in this spot, and you know, not that Trevor, you know, Trevor rode him to his maiden win, and you know, certainly more than competent, and also recently announced last week, we could also slip in, right, that he and Katie Davis are engaged, another another pair of jocks getting betrothed, getting Johnny, and boy, you know, Johnny has gotten hot. Greg, the last few weeks at Saratoga, then he had that great trip out to California and had the three wins at Del Mar a week ago Saturday, then has this mammoth day on Saturday, and he had him in ideal position without really having to ask. I mean, everybody's talking about that modest first quarter, but that benefits you as much as it does anybody else.
Yes, it did, you know, and Johnny, you know, he was biding his time, and I was wondering, you know, waiting when he was going to uncork him, and it was a masterful ride. You know, it was a thrilling race. It was just, you know, having Johnny is an added plus for any trainer, and Johnny knows mind control so well, and I think he has a ton of confidence in him. I think we were just all concerned about the break, because even in some previous races with mind control broke well, he was a little antsy just prior to breaking. So he just gets in there, and he's, you know, he's ready to go, and he's always, he doesn't do anything wrong in the gate, just kind of loses his, probably, you know, just a bit before they break, you know, just kind of gets a little antsy. But, you know, we thought that if we had a good break in the Alan Jerkins, that, you know, we would have a fair shot, and that's all we were looking forward to, is, you know, a fair shot, and, you know, it just materialized in front of Johnny. But, you know, the ride couldn't have been any picture perfect from John. It was flawless.
As we saw really all, you know, all weekend, and particularly on Saturday, you know, we had a couple of very tight photos, and a lot of people sweated them out. It did seem on the replay that, you know, right away that after, you know, after they hit the wire live, when it wasn't so clear, the first replay came back, and it was pretty evident. I mean, when did you know? Did you know when they crossed the wire live, or
no?
Or did you
when they crossed the wire, the box was past the wire, so our angle, you know, we knew it was close, but I didn't know that he'd won. And when I watched the replay, the slow mo on TV, I still wasn't sure. It was I thought we had it, but emotions were running high. You might want to think you had it, but we weren't quite sure until the number went up. It was quite a thrill for the Brunettis and Sal Coombe and my brother. Our families. It was a really exciting race, and a great day of racing all the way around in Ireland.
You mentioned the Brunettis, and of course he is a homebred. You know, you and I have talked several different times after you know his wins, including last year, when he followed up his maiden win with the hopeful. The passing of John, and also, of course, the passing to the Suns, and the continuation of Red Oak, and with all the good things that are happening down in Jersey, this is a really nice story, and that white jacket with the red dots. I mean, it's an institution in Florida and New Jersey, and this horse really has kind of taken the Red Oak brand to the highest level in memory.
Yes, no. You know, it's Steve has the passion for racing that his father had, and, you know, he's going to carry on the tradition. You know, there's a lot of good things happening. The Broodmare Band is terrific. Of course, we feel that fire. Very active at the sales. So, you know, with a little bit of luck, you know, in the near future, hopefully the white and red dots will, you know, continue to be prominent and be in some of the major races across the country. You know, that's our goal. That's, you know, the plan. And, you know, you're hoping everything comes to fruition. But Steve and my brother Rick have done a great job with the Broodmare Band and with their purchases. And hopefully there's good things to come for all of us.
Now, for you, the third stake win of the year, the follow-up grade one that won the Bayshore back, of course, in April, the Jerome to start the year on New Year's Day. Great way to start the year. What are your thoughts? The Vosburgh, what do you want to do? I mean, you do have a Breeders' Cup opportunity with the you know, with the mile, he's gone a route of ground. It's not like, you know, a mile's out of his scope by any means. What's in everybody's head?
Well, Steve, I tell you, nothing's in concrete right now. We're actually going to discuss it in the upcoming weeks. We're having a barn party tonight. Steve Brunetti is going to take the barn to dinner tonight, so everybody's looking forward to that, taking the whole staff to dinner. And we'll enjoy that, because, you know, all the success comes from our staff, too, preparing these horses. So it means a lot to them. It means a lot to us to have such a good group of people working for us. But in regard to the next step, Steve, nothing's in concrete. The Malibu has been mentioned with my brother, and Steve is an end-of-the-year goal. And we'll see if there's a step in between there. We're looking forward to his four-year-old campaign. You know, a lot of horses don't improve from 2 to 3, and he certainly has had a, you know, even with the bad luck this year, he's had some dynamite races for us. And he's come through with flying colors as a three-year-old who's winning this race. The other day was just, just stamped him as one of the top three-year-old sprinters in the country. And it's, moving forward, I think that there'll probably be one race probably in between here in the Malibu, and that race hasn't been determined yet.
Interesting. When you look at Stay Thirsty as a sire, and I'm just using Thoragraph and the sire index, there's a lot of improvement in Stay Thirsty progeny from 3 to 4, and so there's lots to look forward to. I'm curious, in knowing that you dabbled with routes of ground, looking ahead to next year, have you thought that you'll try to stretch him out more in the future, or is he dedicated to sprint distances, up to one turn miles, for instance, for now?
Well, no, I think we'll try it at some point, next year, and going to 2 turns with the pedigree, and he's improved from 2 to 3. I expect him to even be a stronger 4-year-old. He's just a very smart, talented horse. He's not going with a very sound horse, and that's always a big plus. No, he's never had any issues from day one. So I think that will carry on to his 4-year-old campaign. And we'll see. But the 2-turn races are not, something that's out of the question for him, no. But for right now, we'll stick to the 1 turn, and I believe he'll stretch out as a 4-year-old, and I think he'll do it successfully. And only time will tell, but there's a lot to look forward to his 4-year-old campaign. He's, a genuine horse with a big heart and a ton of talent. And it's a real pleasure to have him in our barn.
Now, we're just delighted. I mean, it seemed to me that looking at the race, I mean, if Chancelot was going to be vulnerable, you and I thought the Rusty Arnold had, had the best chances to beat him. And really, executed beautifully. Plus coming back to Saratoga, it's funny, year to year, it's a weird phenomenon. People will say, oh, he obviously likes the track. You can't ever guarantee that you're getting, the exact same kind of footing from year to year. And certainly, the inside has not been good at Saratoga this summer. But it does have to give you a little bit of confidence to come back to a place where, you ran so well the previous year.
It does, Steve. And like I stated, a lot of horses, don't improve from 2 to 3 or they're a 1-hit wonder. And he won the hopeful, and then he had a very good year, despite the troubled trips. And then to come back in such an elite group of 3-year-olds, in very good form, and to run against Chancelot, who's arguably the talk of, the race in the world after the Amsterdam. It was visually impressive. It was, speed-wise, it was impressive. I mean, there was nothing not impressive about that race. It was eye-popping. I mean, it had to be the late, great Ray Charles not to be impressed with it. So with all that being said, to come back and to come back to Saratoga, yes, he. I think Mind Control has an affinity for Saratoga, but he brings his track with him. He ran over, Aqueduct, and Monmouth, and Delaware, and he's a horse that I don't think needs a specific track. He's a runner is a runner, And for him to come back to Saratoga and stamp himself in such an elite group of company and beat the horse that was the talk of the country was just, was very, very overwhelming to us. And we don't take it lightly. And we're so proud of our colt and our team to get him ready. And the Chancellor ran to the wire. He didn't lay down. He ran hard. Yes, he could have been vulnerable. You have to load up every, all the time, in our industry. You load up in the gate. And yes, we were impressed with his last race. But my father taught me a long time ago, to just get a one horse. He was the standout on paper. But you can't just be afraid of one horse. Everyone has to load up in the gate, train well leading up to the race. If you're shipping from another track, like we did in Chancellor, there's a lot of factors that go into it. And, we were looking forward to bringing Mind Control back because we felt that he was going to peak in the Jerkins, which he did. He looks tremendous. He's filled out beautifully, and he couldn't have been doing any better going into it. We had a ton of confidence that we were going to win our race. It was good enough to beat Chancellor and the rest of the town with the field. We found out on Saturday, and unfortunately for us, he was up to the task. But, it was a really talented group of three-year-olds that we didn't take lightly. We just knew going in that our colt was at the top of his game. He was going to run a dynamite race. We felt that, and he came through with flying colors.
Well, they got the big effort from Johnny, well-positioned, got the clean start that had kind of dogged him a little bit, and the result, another grade one win, the Son of Stay Thirsty, and obviously there's still big things ahead. You mentioned the dam, Feel That Fire, and the little sister, the Bodemeister half, My Gift From Above, ran an improved second start about 2-3 weeks ago at Monmouth. Maybe she should come to Saratoga.
Well, I tell you, Steve, she was very green the first time and still green the second time, clocking horses. And then when the outside, the eventual winner went by her, she took off. She has a ton of ability. Looks like her brother. Very pretty filly, very stout. And she's wants two turns. So her next effort will be around two turns. And we all added blinkers with her. And she worked tremendous last week. And we're looking forward to running her two turns the next start. And I think we'll see even a much more improved effort than the next effort.
Well, we'll keep tabs on her. And I, the thing that's interesting, I'm just looking at the family. And then after she was barren in 2018, so there is no yearling, but there's a mineshaft filly that is a weanling, and I imagine it's got to be irresistible to take her back to Stay Thirsty. No.
Yeah. No. He's in California. I'll leave that up to Steve Vanetti.
Oh, all right. That's right. That's right. You got relocated. Well, that
yeah. No, yeah. I think they moved. I think Kentucky gave up on Stay Thirsty a little too soon.
That's
but,
too bad.
I think California's gonna have a nice sire out there in Stay Thirsty.
Interesting. Well, there may not be a breeding program another 10 minutes in California.
Right.
He may be back to Kentucky sooner than later. And there's a better upside for Jersey breeding.
Yeah, now we would have been dynamite Jersey.
Exactly. Greg, delighted for you and for Rick and the Brunetti Sol, everybody, the whole barn. Where's Steven taking everybody tonight?
Actually, we're going to a place in Long Branch. It's been a staple there called Casa Comida. Most of the guys are Hispanic that work for us.
Nice.
We had some little pasta or Mexican. The vote was Mexican, so that's where we're heading.
I love it. I tell you, I didn't get a chance to talk. I've been laid up with this idiotic eye surgery, so I can't come out. But we had the trip down for the Haskell. The food down there, I mean, you can't go wrong. And in fact, considering
the Jersey Shore is packed with restaurants.
Where we went to, in fact, I got the cards sitting on the corner of my desk. Have you been to that Semolina in Red Bank?
No, I haven't been there, but I think my brother and Steve have gone there and they liked it.
And we also, the next night we went to, speaking of Long Branch, we went to Trauma's Trattoria.
Yes, that's another good spot. That's another good spot. And there's a place called Rich Hill's Little Celebration Dinner last night with the families at Angelica's and Seabright. Great
wow,
spot.
That's an institution. But you gotta you gotta know somebody. How do you get in? You gotta be a psycho to get in.
Actually, we do know the owner. So
there wasn't either you. We either need a Sacco or Lou Raffetto to get in there.
Yeah, I was talking about knowing the owner. I said Rao's in the city. You talked to. He said, "Greg, you don't know the president to get in that place." Tough spot to get into, but some great spots in the Jersey Shore. Really, really fun spot.
Well, have a wonderful time tonight, and everybody so deserving. And you come up to the spa and take home the money. Mind Control adds a grade one as a 3-year-old to his success here in the hopeful. Greg, congratulations and continued success.
Thank you very much, Steve. It was a pleasure talking to you today.
Absolutely. Greg Sacco and the nice story of Mind Control, the Brunetti family. What can you say? Comes back, and that was as thrilling a finish on a day that had nothing but thrilling finishes and outlandish performances. We covered off quite a few. We still got more yet. Rick Hammerly is standing by. I was going to try to reach Rick each day as he makes his way to Kentucky Downs, and he reminded me when I was talking about all the great action Saturday, opening day at Kentucky Downs on Saturday. Hammer, where are you?
Well, I'll put it this way. I just passed Loretta Lynn's Dude Ranch, so you can guess where I'm getting close to Nashville.
Absolutely. You're zeroing in. Boy, you've torn up the track. You left on Friday.
Well,
I
rolled pretty good. I had two great days of weather, and then, boy, yesterday coming into Oklahoma City, I had a little road closure and a little detour, and then near Little Rock yesterday, I mean, I'm telling you, I just got hit by this hellacious thunderstorm for I can handle 15, 20 minutes of it, but it was about an hour of white-knuckle, 40-mile-an-hour driving. Watching the white line, and I said, that's it. I pulled over. I was hoping to make it yesterday, but smooth driving today, a little rain. I hope to be in Kentucky Downs in an hour or so, tell you the truth.
How about that? I love
good
it.
Good run.
Well done.
I'm one of those nuts that actually loves to be out on the road driving, so it's good. And I'll tell you, I got to listen to the replay this morning, and then the whole show makes the driving go pretty good. So congratulations to Shug, as you said, and Greg Sacco too. It's kind of good. And I was watching the, I guess it's legal. I was watching the races and I was driving and put some bets in and cruising along the highway. So anyway, it's been a good trip.
Well, I'm glad we caught you, and we'll start to anticipate the weekend opening day, the 5-day meet presented by Run Happy at Kentucky Downs. Hammer, safe last section of the drive. I'm glad we caught you.
Sounds great. Yeah, entries are tomorrow for opening day, so right back into the action. I'm ready for it.
Awesome. Those of you that are into the going to have horses into the cards and the big pots at Kentucky Downs. And in fact, we talked a little bit yesterday on TV with Jeff Bloom, and Jeff has got a horse or two that's headed in that direction. And who else? What else did we do yesterday? Oh, Lenny. We talked to Lenny Shulman about the Kentucky Downs season as well on TV.
And now the horses from all over coming in. So I'm really looking forward to that. And, new for me, it's going to be great.
Rick Hammerly, folks, Kentucky Downs, and we'll talk later in the week, and we'll talk to you tomorrow, 9 o'clock, more recapping of the tremendous Travers weekend. If you missed anything, replay 6 to 9, and on the archive and the podcast, Case will get it loaded up as soon as he can, and I hope you enjoyed. What a treat. Shug McGahee today, Greg Sacco, Carlos Martin, Johnny D, and Jonathan Shepard. Talk to you in the morning. Thanks, everybody. Riding down the line, we think there is a soul.
That's all it is.